3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome to the 19-hit edition of the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Wow. What a game one of the four-game series against the Angels. The Mariners explode for a big win. Felix Hernandez does it once again. He was dominant. We'll talk about that coming up. We'll dive into the ballgame last night. What a thriller that was. As the Mariners looking for the big mo heading into the All-Star break, they take game one of the series. We'll see what else they can do with the rest of the series. So we have that coming up in a few. We're going to get plenty of reaction from the ball game on both sides as well coming up. Rick Riz will be by, a nice conversation with Kyle Seager, especially about defensively, like how to play third base. It's good, really good, especially if you have a young one around, wants to get some good advice from one of the best there is defensively at third base, Kyle Seager. Gather around your, you know, whatever device you're listening to this on. It's good. Coming up, you'll also hear from Shannon Dreyer, who sat down with Jesus Montero back in a Mariners uniform yesterday, the first time in a while. And I put together a feature for this weekend, and I'm gonna run it by you first to see what you think before it hits the air. So let me know. That will come up in a few minutes as well, so we'll get to that. Some business items to take care of. First, sorry about no podcast yesterday. Things have been insane. I feel like part of me is crawling on all four hands and knees to get to the finish line before the All-Star break. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, but here we are staring at the All-Star break. So with that in mind, here's the schedule. Podcast today, obviously, which is Friday. I hope to have one coming up on Monday that wraps up the weekend and then gets us ready for the All-Star break. And then I am going to be out of town. So I am taking a few days off, and there'll be no podcast the next few days. Actually, I'll be out of town. That's why I'm not exactly sure if I'll be able to pull it off for Monday or not. I hope to. So look for one on Monday, because I hope to have one out for the weekend. And then I'm going to take the rest of the week off. So no more podcasts until back from the All-Star break the following weekend. So it's going to be a few days, but to be honest, it's a few days I need and I'm looking forward to. So I'm going to try and rest up as much as possible. It's been a frantic first half at times, but it's been a lot of fun. And I say this from time to time, probably not enough, but I really appreciate all of you that listen every single day and interact with me every single day, whether it's emails, GaryHillPXP@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Gary Hill Jr. For whatever. I love the questions. I love the comments. I love the baseball conversation. So I know many of you do every day talk to me about anything. And yeah, feel free, because I love it. It's my favorite part of this whole thing. I mean, I love, you know, putting this out every single day, but really it's the interaction that I love the most, and I'll continue to try and find more ways to interact more and more often as well. And I know I owe a couple of you a couple of features that we've talked about, and I hope to have those coming in the second half. But it's so much fun, and it's you that makes this happen and you that makes this so much fun for me. So again, I really appreciate it. It's been a fun first half on the podcast, and hopefully we'll have more games like last night in the second half of the season, and that would make it that much more fun as well in the second half. So again, at Gary Hill Jr., GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. So let's dive into the ball game last night. The final box score is a frameable box score. 19 hits for the Mariners, and really the tone was set right away facing Garrett Richards, one of the best in the American League. He has had the Mariners number down through the years. In fact, he's been one of the best starters against the Mariners the past several seasons. But it was Logan Morrison right off the bat, a mammoth home run to get things cooking for the Mariners.
Here's the windup and the 3-1 pitch. Swing and a drive deep into the gap. Right center field. Going, going. Goodbye, baseball. Way up there into the bleachers. In right center field near the concourse. Holy smokes, what a shot by Logan Morrison. A leadoff home run here in the bottom of the first inning.
I mean, that thing was absolutely mauled as Morrison gets things off on the right foot. And it's funny, it looked like the Mariners were going to get some more, but Robinson Cano gets thrown at home plate, so that ends the first inning. And really a nice inning. One could have been more, but then the second, they were right back at work. Mike Zunino this time drives in a run in the second inning. And just like that, the Mariners on top 2-0. And Felix Hernandez, boy, it felt like when you're watching him deal, that might be all he needed.
Trout holds the bat very high. Felix ready. Here comes the Kings. 2-2. Caught on and missed for strike three. Gets him with the changeup. Back-to-back strikeouts for Felix Hernandez, who has 5 on the night through 6 scoreless innings against the Angels.
Mike Trout striking out there. There's only one pitcher that has struck out Mike Trout more than 11 times, and that is Felix Hernandez, who has fanned Mike Trout 20 times, almost double Yu Darvish, who's second on the Mike Trout strikeout list. Sonny Gray on there as well. Max Scherzer all in double figures, but no one more than Felix. He has fanned him 20 times in his career. And Felix rolling at one point, retiring 10 hitters in a row. Just absolutely dominant, very Felix-like. And for the M's, they continue to tack on runs. Richards went 1-2-3 in the third inning, but that would be the only clean inning of the night for the Angels. And the fourth inning, a thing of beauty. Something I talk about all the time with this team this year. The Mariners get the bases loaded, nobody down, and this is exactly what I've been asking for. Base hits are lovely, home runs awesome, but a lot of times it's just the fly ball.
Swing and a line drive into right field. Calhoun is there to make the catch. Tag it at third, Smith. The throw to the plate, cut off by Pulos. Relay to third, and safe at third base is Eckley. As Smith scores from third, Brad Miller with a sacrifice fly to right field and a run batted in, and the Mariners now lead the Angels 3-0.
It was a beautiful thing. Back-to-back sack flies in the fourth inning. The Mariners, they put 2 more runs on the board, and Felix Hernandez, well, in ways only Felix can do, he gets the bases loaded himself in the seventh inning. There's one out. He gets a punch out of Carlos Perez, and then he gets out of the jam.
Bases full, 2 outs. Tying run at the plate. The Kings, 1-2, swinging a ground ball right to Seager off the bag at third base. Gobbles it up, easy toss over to first base. Navarro is out, and the King walks the tightrope, and he leaves him loaded to the top of the seventh.
He is so good with runners aboard. Bases loaded this year, opponents 1-for-10 against Felix. The only hit was the Mark Teixeira grand slam against the Yankees. Remember that one? 1-for-10. The pitcher's supposed to be in trouble in those situations. Seemingly, Felix never is. Bases loaded, 1-for-10. Felix dominant. 7 innings, didn't give up a run. And the numbers from Felix, it's really nuts when you look at it, what he's done against the Angels in particular. You turn back the clock to June 20th, 2013. Felix gave up 6 runs against the Angels. Since that date, June 20, 2013, he has started against the Angels 12 times. He's given up a total of 8 earned runs, a 0.91 ERA since June 20th, 2013. 79 innings, 103 strikeouts. He has had the Angels' number. He has completely and thoroughly dominated the Angels. And again, last night, 0 runs, 7 innings. Cole Calhoun, Angels outfielder, he talked about how good Felix is, and you can hear it in his voice, a guy that they see all the time, and it is just no fun for the Angels against the King.
I mean, obviously you had success tonight, but what makes Felix so tough, particularly against you guys?
He's one of the best, man. All his stuff, when he's on, he's unbelievable. You guys see it all the time. We get to see it quite a bit each year, but it's one of the best for a reason. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, everybody knows you get a lead. It's easy to settle into a ball game and kind of go out there and relax and throw your game. So just makes a dominant pitcher a little more dominant.
And to expand on that a little bit more, you know I love the history and the numbers when it comes to Felix Hernandez. And seemingly every time he takes the mound at this point, it's just some ridiculous number. And again, last night, great example. So last night, the 43rd game in the career of Felix Hernandez, where he throws seven or more innings without allowing a run. 43rd. That ties him with Sandy Koufax, Roy Halladay, David Cone, and Vita Blue. I mean, seriously? Koufax, Halladay, Cone, Vita Blue? Hall of Famers and some borderlines right there. I mean, that is, think about that company. And Felix is 29 is the other pertinent piece of information when it comes to that. That's just incredible. 43rd game in his career, seven innings, zero runs given up. He was unbelievable, and he talked about it after the game.
Oh yeah, everything was working today. I mean, I had a great fastball. I mean, breaking balls there, good changeup, throwing a strike. I lost it in the seventh a little bit, but I came back and made good pitches.
That seventh inning, coming back, what did you find in that lesson?
I just step back and just be calm and try to make good pitches.
It's important to close out the first half strong. Good finish for you here.
Oh, it's good to finish like that, yeah. I mean, I'm just ready for the second half and start strong. Game.
Felix, there's a position open as a starter in the All-Star game. I mean, you did it a year ago. How important would it be to you do it again?
Well, for me, it'd be an honor. I mean, I would love to start the game, so we'll see.
I think you got the resume for it?
Yeah, I think so. What do you think?
It's okay.
All right, good.
You said the runs kind of pumped you up a little bit. What did you see as far as, you know, look up 19 hits?
Well, the guys came out swinging really hard bad, and then it was a really, you know, chemic and dugout. I mean, we just having fun. And when I saw that, I was like, it's going to be a good game.
So the Mariners four runs through four, but still kind of a tight game. The Angels break through in the eighth inning after Felix leaves. They score one, so it's a three-run ball game. The Mariners had some other opportunities to score, couldn't push anyone across. But then in the eighth inning, they play some add-on to give them a little more breathing room.
2-2 pitch, fastball at set, swing and a ground ball, base hit into right field. Here comes Miller on to score. Around to third goes Logan Morrison. Robinson Cano with a big RBI single.
Another one, and then Seth Smith would drive in the final run and cap off a great night offensively with 19 big hits.
The stretch and the pitch, swung on, line drive, diving try off the glove of Giovatella at second. And here comes Cano on to score another base hit. The 19th base hit in this ball game for the Mariners. Seth Smith with hit number 19. Cano scores from third, and the Mariners now lead 7-1. Holy smokes, what a night for the Mariners offense.
10 players played, 10 players picked up hits. Seager had three, Cruz had three, Cano had two, he drove in a run. Seth Smith had two, Ackley had two, Trumbo had two with a walk. Miller went 1-for-3, Morrison 1-for-5, he had the home run as well. Gutierrez came into the ballgame as a pinch runner. He ended up with an AB. He picked up a hit. Then I saved Mike Zunino because he had an excellent night. Mike Zunino goes 2-for-2, two RBIs with a sacrifice bunt and a sacrifice fly. There was only one player for the Mariners last year and only one player in 2013 that had both a sac fly and a sac bunt in the same game. So Mike Zunino does that last night. A sac bunt, a sac fly, also mixed in two hits, drove in two. An excellent night for Mike Zunino offensively and really all the way around. 19 hits, seven runs on the board. And It got a little interesting in the ninth inning as Carson Smith comes on. As it turns out, despite a five-run lead in a save situation, trying to finish things off, and he would on just two pitches.
The 0-1 pitch to Calhoun, swing and a ground ball to first, up of the ball, Logan Morrison, the toss to Smith at the bag, and it's in time, and this ball game is over. The Mariners win it, a final score of 7-2 to take game one of the four-game series, and Felix Hernandez picks up his 11th win of the year.
11th win of the year, which is kind of amazing. Here we are, not even to the All-Star break, just on the cusp of it. This is last start, obviously, before the All-Star break. But his Cy Young Award season, we talk about so often, he had 13 wins in that season, and here he is just a couple away with 11 wins already and going to another All-Star game. And I was looking at things, just as a side note real quick, because he, you know, this is going to be his fifth straight All-Star game, and that's a pretty rare thing. When you consider, it's not like position players who they can get voted in, maybe having a down first half, that kind of thing. With pitchers, they just don't get in with a down half. They don't get in generally on reputation because of the way the system is set up. So it's harder for pitchers because of performance and injury and everything else. It's harder for pitchers to string together long stretches of All-Star game appearances. So when I looked, there are only three American League pitchers in history that have longer streaks than five consecutive All-Star game appearances for the American League. Only three. 2 7-game streaks, 1 6-game streak. All three are Hall of Famers, by the way. That's the company that Felix Hernandez is keeping. And once again, 7 innings, no runs on 5 hits, walk 2, fan 6. Mariners win the ball game 7-2. Mark Trumbo has been swinging a hot bat here in July. A couple more hits. Here's what he had to say after the ball game.
It looked like guys were, you know, kind of picking their spots, but the pitches that we did get to hit, I think we did a good job of putting them in play, and I think a lot of them did fall for hits tonight. And I think it can be contagious if you see, you know, the guys in front of you putting together a good at bat. You're inspired to try and, you know, kind of keep it moving.
Approach today, we saw a lot of guys going the other way. I mean, how much of that was Richards, and how much of that is just what you guys are trying to do right now?
He's really tough. You know, he's got really the good fastball and the slider, so I think guys, you know, you're going to have to stay on the ball. It's moving away from you as a right-handed hitter a lot into left-handers, but, you know, I think if you can use the whole field, especially against a guy like that, you give yourself more chances.
And you yourself, I mean, going up against a tough righty like that, how is that going to tell you where you're at?
It was a couple good at-bats. I like to walk a lot, too. You know, I laid off a few pitches that, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago I wasn't laying off of, so that's a good sign.
Dustin Ackley as well, two more hits, scores a couple of times. He's been swinging a hot bat. He played center field last night. Austin Jackson still getting a night off, and here's what he had to say.
See a night like tonight, 19 hits from this team. Approach-wise, I mean, Garrett Richards is a guy you guys have seen quite a bit. He's very tough. What was kind of the plan going in?
Yeah, I mean, we were just, they're just be simple, I think. He's a guy with good stuff, and you don't want to go deep in the count with that guy, so you just try to look for something early and square something up. And I think Lomo set the tone right out the gate. I think anytime something like that happens, I think that springboards the whole team, and it did. I mean, we got on him. I think Cano hit a double, and it was like just went from there, and everybody started to contribute, and it was a good all-around effort.
What did you see in those kind of, even before you stepped up to the plate and watching those at-bats?
Yeah, just he was giving some stuff to hit. I mean, he was throwing some stuff over the plate that was getting hit pretty well. So I think everybody knew that if they were patient enough to get that pitch and not miss it, it was gonna be a good night.
And finally, Mike Zunino, I mentioned already, not only a great day at the plate, of course, always a great job handling Felix behind the plate. Here's what he had to say.
I mean, was able to get some pitches I could handle. Nice to be there with some runners on, and I mean, have good at bats.
19 hits tonight. The approach going, I mean, this is Garrett Richards out there. He's a tough pitcher. You guys have struggled against him. We saw a lot of it going the other way tonight. What was the approach?
I mean, we faced him a few times this year already, which always helps. And it's one of those things where guys are starting to swing the bat better and trust themselves. And we were able to piece together a good game. I mean, it's something that hopefully we can keep piecing that together and guys can get confident at the plate.
What was the key to that? Well, you see the guys, you see the hits start to come. Is this a night where, okay, the runs were coming, you think it might be close going in, but you kind of feel the hits start to come?
We're hoping so. I mean, we've had some great at-bats the last few games, and it's one of those things, it's all about timing. And once we can piece those two together and, have production from the top to the bottom of the order, we're going to start clicking here real soon.
The guy that you were catching today, not bad either. And when he comes out, what did you see from him early on?
I mean, he was having everything working. He was feeling good, and he attacked guys. I mean, it's always tough when you face a team so many times, but he kept them off balance. He had everything working. And, I mean, it's just the typical Felix start where he goes seven strong for us.
So there it was, game one of the books. Now three games left until the All-Star break. And here's what the Mariners will be facing. Now they face three lefties until the All-Star break. A nice lefty matchup coming up today. 7:10 first pitch. Mike Montgomery, 4-2, a 1.62 ERA. He's been absolutely sensational. He's going to take on Hector Santiago, who's been one of the best pitchers in the American League, a 2.40 ERA. He's 5-4 on the season. So the Mariners will get Hector Santiago in game two of the series. Again, tonight at 7:10. Saturday, also 7:10 first pitch. This one, another lefty, C.J. Wilson, against Usashi Iwakuma, who struggled his first time out with the long ball. He's going to get another crack at it before the All-Star game, taking on the Angels on Saturday. And then the final game before the All-Star break, Taijuan Walker. This is going to be a great matchup. Two young guns going at it. Taijuan Walker against Andrew Heaney. He's only started three times, 2-0, a 1.77 ERA. Again, Walker, 7-6 with a 4.53. Doesn't tell the story about how well he has pitched the last few weeks. So that is going to be a great matchup on Sunday. So that's what the rest of the first half looks like until the All-Star break gets here. We'll see if the Mariners, now off on the right foot, taking game one and beating Garrett Richards, we'll see if they can continue and try and take this series against the Angels before the All-Star break happens. Now, speaking of the All-Star break and the All-Star game, there's something I'm playing this weekend, but I want to run it by you first. So tell me what you think. Did I miss any big moments? Let me know. But it's kind of a Seattle Mariners All-Star Game history. Hope you enjoy it. Here it is. On Tuesday, July 14th, the city of Cincinnati will host the 86th Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And once again, the Seattle Mariners will be well represented. Nelson Cruz will become the 10th Mariner to start in an All-Star game.
The stretch and the pitch. Swing and a fly ball deep into right center field. Guyer on the run going back, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. It may have gone into the Rays' fish tank. Holy smoke, Nelson Cruz.
And Cruz will be joined by the King, Felix Hernandez, going to his 6th All-Star game. And last year, he earned the nod as the starter for the American League.
Back-to-back strikeouts. Here's a 1-1. Broken bat. Backhanded pickup by Donaldson. Inning over.
And, of course, the Mariners have had many shining moments through the years, including one provided by one of Felix's former teammates, Ichiro. He went to 10 straight All-Star games in a Mariners uniform, and also in 2007 provided the only inside-the-park home run in All-Star game history.
Here's a shot into deep right field. Back at the wall. Ichiro hits it off the wall. It takes a weird carom, and Ichiro may circle the bases. In to score is Roberts. Here comes Ichiro. Inside-the-park home run.
And that big blast helped Ichiro earn the All-Star game MVP. And funny enough, the ball actually caromed away from Ken Griffey Jr., who was playing for the National League. Of course, Griffey, a Mariners legend. He went to the All-Star game 10 straight years for the Seattle Mariners. He, too, won an All-Star game MVP in 1992.
That's well hit to left. Bonds on the run, looking up, and it is gone. A line drive, opposite field home run for Ken Griffey Jr. It's 6-0 American League.
and the first home run ever by a Seattle Mariner. How proud they must be up Seattle way.
And it was the next year, in 1993, Griffey again providing fireworks, this time in the Home Run Derby at Camden Yards.
Oh, holy cow. That may have hit the warehouse, and they announce it did. That may have damaged the warehouse.
And Griffey's former teammate, the big unit, Randy Johnson. The Hall of Famer went to 5 All-Star games in a Mariners uniform, starting the game twice, once in 95, once in 97. And along the way, he provided some of the most memorable moments in All-Star game history.
Time to crack, fanning himself off. Johnson has had pitches clocked at as much as 102 miles per hour in Major League play. He bailed out again at the breaking ball.
He wants no part of Randy Johnson.
And, of course, no one in Seattle will ever forget the All-Star games the Mariners hosted. The first was in 1979 at the Kingdome.
July the 17th, 1979. The Kingdome was center stage for baseball's 50th All-Star game. The Mariners' representative that season was first baseman Bruce Bochy.
And from the host, Seattle Mariners, first baseman Bruce Bochy.
And, of course, the Mariners again hosted in 2001 at Safeco Field.
2001 All-Star game, and what a festive day it was. The weather was unbelievable. The Mariners had more All-Stars than anybody. It was a year they would go on and set a new record for the most wins in the American League with 116. And it was just a fabulous, fabulous 3 days here in Seattle, all highlighted by Cal Ripken Jr.
Here comes the pitch from Chan Ho Park, and there's a high fly ball to left field. Did he do it? Did he do it? He did!
It was a perfect day for Mariners fans. Freddie Garcia nailed down the win for the American League. And, of course, Kazuhiro Sasaki locked down the save for the AL.
To the right side, the American League has won 5 consecutive All-Star games. Garcia the winner, Park the loser, Sasaki the save. And a big night of baseball for the Seattle Mariners and, more importantly, for the fans. Here at Safeco Field.
There's been plenty of All-Star magic through the years for the Seattle Mariners, and maybe Nelson Cruz and Felix Hernandez will provide more coming up on Tuesday. And I mentioned a moment ago, Jesus Montero back with the big club. Shannon Dreyer, a chance to catch up with Montero.
Catching up with Jesus Montero. I know a lot of people are going to be thrilled to see you up here, Jesus. A lot of people have been following what you've been doing and the numbers you've been putting up. That's quite a streak you've had with the bat. What's different right now for you?
Well, for me, just trying to have fun, trying to go out there to have fun, because sometimes we forget this is a game, you know. Trying to go out there, have fun, and trying to hit the ball hard. And it's been working for me that way. Trying to help the team to win. Like I said before, I'm a winner. I wanted to win every single day, so I'm going to try to help this team to win out here, you know, to do my best.
You step up to the plate right now. What's it like? What goes through your mind when you step up at the plate?
Well, just nothing, you know. I mean, just kind of do the same thing that I was doing in Tacoma, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that in my mind, you know, starting to hit the ball hard and see what happens, you know. I don't know what's going to happen, but... I hope something happened. Something good happened.
Good is always good, exactly. Hey, you know, we talked to you a lot in spring training, and it's just great to everything that we've heard down in Tacoma. You've kept up the work. You've got a routine, not just on the baseball field, but, you know, off the field, too. You look at you right now and just a different person right now, it seems like, a little bit.
Well, yeah, now that I have a family, you know, I got to take care of more teams, you know. It's not about me anymore. It's about my daughter and my wife. And my house and everything, you know. You know how it is. So now is, you know, I just want to enjoy my life, you know, come here to work hard and, you know, take care of my babies, because my other ones are going to be soon. So.
Oh, okay, a little news here.
Yeah.
All right.
So just, you know, work hard for them. You know, they don't they deserve to have a, you know, good player in the field, you know, to say it like that.
Yeah, a good player.
Yeah,
you
good player
in
the field.
You want to see Daddy be a good player.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. You see all the good things that we saw in the spring, and then you go to Tacoma. What do you tell yourself? What's your goal at that point? What's your focus?
Right when they told me that I was going to AAA, I was like, well, I just got to continue to work hard. You know, I just got to show them that I can play. And that's what I was thinking. That's what I was in my mind every single time, you know. And be patient, you know. That was the most important thing, too. Be patient, you know, keep working hard. It's going to come. And then that's what my wife and I were thinking about every single time. You know, it happens, you know. Let's see what's going to happen now. But I'm just going to do my best over here. Keep doing the same thing that I was doing in Tacoma.
You have an opportunity to put in a lot of work there. You're hitting. Anything different? Is there anything that you focused on when you were down there? Anything that you wanted to improve?
Well, first of all, you know, playing first base, play better first base, which is I did. You know, I get more confidence. It was good. I play a lot of games out there. You know, Lisa, she gave me a lot of opportunity in there, so I learned a lot about first base. On the hitting wise, you know, I was having fun out there. I just wanted to have fun. You know, keep doing my routine that I was doing every single day with Corey or Snyder, and you know, trying to have fun in the game and trying to find good results.
What do you like about first base?
It's like a catcher. It's like being a catcher. You know, all the outs, kind of, not all the outs, but kind of all the outs. You know, you gotta pay a lot of attention to it because all the throws, all the ground balls, and all that are gonna come to you. So you gotta pay a lot of attention there too. It's very similar as a catcher.
Keeps your mind in the game really mm-hmm. well. It seems mm-hmm. like you like to be active in the game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, as I said, we've been following what you've been doing. Congratulations on the call-up and all the work that you put in, and I can't wait to see you out there.
No, thank you so much.
And finally, another great conversation, Rick Riz talking fundamentals with Kyle Seager at third base.
Kyle, I love watching you play third base. We've been blessed to see a lot of great third basemen down through the years, Mike Blowers, David Bell, Jeff Cirillo, and watching you over at third base. Real general question, what does it take to be a good third baseman?
You know, I think it's something that you got to work on. You know, I think for me, fortunately, you know, Chris Woodward here is our infield coach, and he's been great for me, kind of helping me with, you know, getting in better positions. But, you know, I think it's something that you just, you know, take a lot of ground balls and, you know, you work on it and you get more comfortable over there.
What is it about before you catch a ground ball? There's a lot of fundamentals go into it. Does it start with the footwork first to be in the right position, the right balance, to have your feet in the right position?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you don't have as much of a reaction time at third base, so I think your footwork is that much more important. So, you know, getting your feet under you, getting in the right athletic position, trying to maintain an athletic position the whole time so you can, read the hop as best you can.
Your hands are so quick catching the ball and getting out of your glove on the way to Cano at second for a double play or across the diamond to Logan Morrison over at first base. What do you do as far as drills to work on your quickness for getting that ball out of your glove and getting that throw to where you want it to go?
Yeah, it's another positioning thing. You know, if it looks quick, that's a good thing. But in my head, it's, you know, it's trying to repeat what you work on. So for me, if I can get the ball out of my glove, you know, if I can keep my glove away from my ear, when I catch a ground ball, when I first got drafted and coming through the minors, I had a habit of I would catch it and I would bring the glove up to my ear almost like a quarterback. So that's obviously a little bit longer and it's harder to get everything aligned that way. And, you know, worked over the years to, you know, when you catch it, try to keep the ball a little lower. You know, keep it around my waist, and if I can get the ball out of my glove around my waist, then I'm going to be in a better position throughout.
Middle infielders, Kyle, as you know, you played there, have a chance to read a ground ball and get a good hop. You talked about a reactionary play, that ball gets to you so quickly, but I also see you be very aggressive over there at third base and a lot of ground balls. How does that help you?
Yeah, you know, it's another thing that Woody has talked to us a lot about. If you can read the hop and you're in an athletic position when the ball is hit, you know, you're going to give yourself a better chance. If you see the ball kind of chopping and it's coming at you, if the initial reaction is to kind of just stay there and try to play the ball, but then you're up to how it wants to bounce or a lot of different factors. And if you see a big hop and you can go get it, even if you catch it on a short hop, you know, you're going to be a much more athletic position and a much more repeatable position.
In those few times we're in never, never land between a good hop and a bad hop, you just trust your hands?
Yeah, you basically just set the angle of your glove and hope for the best. So those are, you know, you certainly get those over the course of a season, but, you know, if you can, you know, kind of cock your wrist a little bit, make the glove as big as you can and hope for the best.
Visit with Kyle Seager on Rick's Tips. Kyle, what's the toughest play over there for a third baseman?
You know, backhands are tough. You get a long throw. I always kind of thought that the run through on a ball that's hit towards the line, so you're kind of going away from first base and away from the field, I always thought those were kind of the hardest because you get your body in such a, you know, a difficult position. And you know, I think the guy that's really good at that is Beltre. If you ever watch him when he's doing that play, he can you know, he can contort his body and get so much on the ball, it's unbelievable.
What's the most fun play for you to make at third base?
That's actually the most fun play. Yeah, well, it's hard, so it's something that you're not necessarily expected to make it, so that's what kind of makes it fun.
What's the key on a bunt or a little swinging bunt to stay low to try to make that barehanded pick in the throw to first base? How do you do that so well?
Yeah, you have to stay low. You have to read the ball. You know, usually when the ball's bunted, it's not going to be rolling very hard, or if it's stopped, and, you know, just – you know, kind of open up your hand as much as you can and stay low to the ground. And, you know, if it bounces up, it's going to be a tough play anyway. So if you have to use your bare hand, then, you know, it's kind of an all or nothing at that point.
Sure, a lot of kids ask you about playing third base. So what advice do you give a youngster, little leaguer right now, high school kid, besides going out there and just having fun? What do you tell the young kids about playing, I think, one of the most demanding positions on that field?
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, you nailed it. You got to have fun. You got to enjoy what you're doing. If you're having fun and enjoying what you're doing, then you'll work harder at it, and it'll, you know, be better all around. But, you know, for me, the one of the biggest things I've learned is, you know, if I have my feet down in an athletic position when the pitch is in the hitting zone, meaning right before they hit it, then you're going to react a whole lot better. You're going to be in a lot better position. And, you know, I kind of equate it to if you were trying to guard a point guard in basketball, wherever your feet would be during that, then kind of have it in that position when the ball is about to be hit.
Mental side of playing third base, how often do you remind yourself, even before the pitch is thrown, what am I going to do when the ball's hit at me, to my left or right? Do you go through every different scenario before the pitch is in play?
Yeah, you have to. You have to have a game plan. You have to know kind of, you know, where the runners are, who's running, how fast they are. You know, there's a lot of different things that come into it, and if you, the more prepared you are mentally, the better off you'll be physically.
Like you said, just go out there and have a good time. Have fun.
Have a blast. Absolutely.